Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
Good sunny afternoon from Texas. It's still a little chilly here, but we do definitely have sun this February afternoon. So glad you decided to join us today. We have an exciting broadcast today. We're going to interview Avi Keigel from Barry University. Avi runs one of the top NCAA Division II programs in the United States, and we're excited to have him on the broadcast today. If you're joining us for the first time today, congratulations, you have found one of the great secrets of tennis. We are the UR Tennis Network. This is a group of passionate individuals that broadcast tennis every week. We have four shows that run regularly. On Monday is Parenting Aces with Lisa Stone. She broadcasts out of Atlanta, which currently is under a deluge of ice and snow. She broadcasts at 11 o'clock Central Standard Time. Wednesday at 11 o'clock Central Standard Time before I go on the air, and you may have just missed him, Coach Chuck Creasy, head coach out at the Citadel University, and myself. And then Saturday, broadcasting from somewhere in California, sunny California, Bill Patton, who does his show Infinite Tennis. And his show comes on at 10 o'clock Central Standard Time, 8 o'clock Pacific Coast Time. So we try to bring forth four different people every week, and that's not the host, four different guests each week from the tennis world. We're quickly approaching our 1,000th hour of interviews of people that you wouldn't normally hear from in the tennis world, of people that major TV, network TV, you're not going to hear from. They're probably not going to be written about on a regular basis, although we've had some great people that have been written about and that you've heard about. And we're very excited that they came on the air, Emilio Sanchez, Martina Navratilova, Paul Anacone, to name a few. And we're excited that I, on my show, get to talk about college tennis. That's just what I love to do. I was a college tennis coach for about 20 years, national champion, Hall of Famer, high TA Coach of the Year, all that good stuff. And now I talk about college tennis and get to interview some of the great personalities that are out there in college tennis. In the college tennis world, they're underway in their spring dual match season. Many people have been paralyzed by the winter weather, particularly if you're in the east, northeast. The NCAA Division I women decided to have their ITA National Team Indoor Championships out in Virginia, Charlottesville, Virginia. It was an exciting weekend and finished on Monday, yesterday. It came down to the wire, and Duke, the Blue Devils, won their second ITA championship, National Indoor Championship, 4-3. It was an exciting come-from-behind win over UCLA. Senior Hannah Marr came back from a set down in the final match to beat UCLA's Jennifer Brady at the number three singles in a two-hour, 33-minute match, 3-6, 7-6, 7-3 and then 10-3 in the match tiebreaker 2 hours, 33 minutes for the singles match. You know, we're trying to get these tennis matches under 3 hours. UCLA won the doubles point and had won the first set in 5 out of the 6 singles matches. This was a heartbreak loss. A heartbreak loss for UCLA. They had it on their teeth. And the interesting thing about this, and I followed it on the ITA website, and there was two interesting pictures, and you had to realize there would be two interesting pictures. I mean, the Duke ladies just excited as all could be, and then there was the pictures of the Bruins, and they were devastated. Devastated. And obviously so. There were some interesting statistics that came out of this, and this came from ZooTennis.com. And this was also done by Coach Manny Diaz out of Georgia that did some research on this. Out of the tournament, 74% of the players who won the second set won the match tiebreaker this weekend. That's 26 of 35 players that won the second set won the match tiebreaker. Now, we're going to follow this and see if it happens at the men's tournament. I'm sure Coach Diaz will provide that same information. But just wanted you to realize that at the WTA and women's ITF, out of 5,600 matches, their statistics, the players who won the second set won the third only 52.2% of the time. So, you know, we got to remember we're trying some new formats here at the NCAA Division I level. From my talks with some of the coaches out there, they're not really excited about the format changes. Too short is what I hear. Not so much on the single side of things, but those doubles sets are going just way too fast. You get down a break and you're done. There's just absolutely no chance of coming back, and the 6 games is just too short. And with that, the new rankings came out yesterday as well, and no surprise at the top, Duke ranked 1, Stanford 2, UCLA 3, Cal at 4, 5 was Florida, 6 North Carolina, 7 Northwestern, 8 Georgia, 9 USC, and 10 Virginia. Virginia moved up, but the big jump, jumping up from number 16 to number 7 was Northwestern. They had a great tournament. Men's ranking, no new men's ranking, and that's because as the ladies didn't have a new ranking last week, the men host their ITA National Team Indoor Championships this week. That's February 14th through the 17th in Houston. And as you remember, Coach Steve Denton, who was on the air last week with us at Texas A&M, they pulled off what a wonderful deal here. Texas A&M in College Station is hosting in Houston, Texas, this championship. And through my website, my Facebook page, and follow a lot of these college teams and such, notice that some of the teams down in the south there had gotten out of there ahead of this winter storm, trying to sort of make sure that they got there on time ahead of the snow and the ice, and we were glad to see that they had arrived because they were practicing and at the Met and at the Galleria Athletic Club down there. So I think we've got Coach Keigel here on the air with us. I'm going to bring him in. I want to remind you that if you do have a question today for Coach Keigel or myself, that you can call in if you're listening live. And that number is always 714-583-6853. Again, that's 714-583-6853. Let me see if I can bring him in. Coach Keigel, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How are you?
I'm doing great today. We finally got some sun over here in Texas. We've been dying out here in the cold weather. You don't get that much down there in Florida, I would imagine.
No, we've been having a beautiful weather here, you know, all in the 80s, so we are very lucky.
I think that's probably why you're in Florida, right?
That's one of the main reasons, yes. I love it here.
Yes, sir. Now, Coach Keigel, I know Barry quite well. I'm a small college. I was a small college guy as a coach. I know about the program. I'm a fan of it. But there are a lot of people that listen to my show that probably don't know much about Barry University or Coach Keigel. So will you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Well, I'm originally from Israel. Played at the national level in Israel, and a little bit on the professional level, but not a lot. And basically made the decision to come and play college tennis just because we had to go to the Army for 3 years, and it kind of put a stop to my professional aspiration. So went the college tennis route, went to Norfolk State University for 4 years, played there, had a great experience. And after that, I was lucky enough to get a graduate assistant position at Barry, working under George Samuel and being his assistant coach for both men and women while doing my master's degree. And during the time, that's kind of when I realized that that's pretty much the one thing that I want to do the most outside of just being a professional tennis player is to coach. And that's kind of when I started my coaching career and moved to Davidson College for 4 years as a full-time assistant. And then got the call from Barry, and offered me the head coach, and been there for the past 5.5 years, and really enjoying it down here.
I would say so, Coach. You have, in your time there at Barry, put together one of the most successful programs in the United States at the Division II level. Since you've taken over in 2008, your record is 120 wins and 15 losses.
Yes, we had been very successful in the past five and a half years, but that's we're getting a lot of support from our athletic department, from scholarship to travel budget and the academic support, and just all around, everybody is really excited about all of the athletic programs here, but especially about tennis. So it's been a very easy change, I guess, from Davidson to come back to Barry, and very happy to be able to continue the tradition of Barry University tennis program, and hoping to get better and better.
So, Coach, let's talk just a little bit about Barry University. Where are you located?
We're located in Miami Shores, Florida. It's about maybe 5 miles from South Beach, so very close to downtown Miami. Small, kind of, it's part of Miami, it's Miami Shores Village. I think great location, close to the ocean, close to downtown, also close to Fort Lauderdale and the beaches over there. So we're right kind of in the middle of everything.
This just sounds like a hard place to recruit to.
I know, that's one of my biggest issues. That's one of our biggest sale, outside of our, high tennis level is, it's one of the best places to live. You have the great weather, you have a nice ocean. If you love sports, we have all the professional sports around here. Great places to eat, to shop, beautiful clubs. So it's just it's a great place. It's a great place for vacation. So, come here, study, play the game that you love, and be in a great area. So why not?
So, Coach, about how many students attend Barry University?
Altogether, we have about, here on our campus, about close to 5,000, about 3,000 undergrad and about 2,000 graduate students. So it's a
small
private university.
Now, if a student athlete is coming to Barry University, what are some of the degrees that stand out that they would want to come to Barry University for?
Well, our business school is very, very strong, accredited both internationally and domestically. So if you want to do international business, finance, accounting, those are very good majors, and most of my student athletes are in that business school. We also have under the School of Human Performance, athletic training is very good. Sports management is excellent. There are a lot of opportunities for internships just because we are surrounded by so many professional teams, from football to baseball. If you want to stay in tennis, you have here, you know, the Ericsson tournament, hockey. I mean, everything that you want, we can get you an internship. So that's also very popular with our student athletes.
Now, Coach, you run a full-time program. You have a fall schedule, a spring schedule. How many courts do you have on campus?
Right now, our tennis facility is 8 courts, but we are in the process of getting a new facility, a 12-court facility. It should be like a top-of-the-line, trying to imitate the University of Georgia facility. So hopefully in the next year and a half or 2 years, we will have our brand-new facility. But right now we got 8 courts that we share with the men's team.
I noticed that you're one of those small college coaches out there. You don't have to run a men's program and a women's program. You're separate. That's got to be a good feeling.
It's a great feeling, and you know, if you really want to have a successful, you know, tennis program, I mean, that's the way to go. You know, you gotta separate. I mean, the coach gotta be focused on one team. That's at least my belief. And not only that, I have a full-time assistant now, and also a volunteer coach. So we actually three on the court every day with our student athletes. So it's really good.
And Coach, I was gonna mention that. I noticed that you've got 12 student athletes on your roster from your website. Is that true? 12 females?
Yes, we got 12 girls on the team this year. A big change from last year, which we were only 7. And that was a conscious effort to increase the size. To have more depth and more options, you know, for doubles and things like that. 12 wasn't my number. My number was 10, but we got a couple of walk-ons that are good players and just have a good character that we really liked, and we thought that they will add to the overall program, so we got them in. But, yeah, it's a big team, but it's fun, a lot of fun.
Now, during the practices with the men's team, do you have to split those 8 courts, or do you have a different time that you practice out there?
On some days, you know, we start before them, so like the first hour and a half, we have all the courts, and then they come, and then on other days, it's just the opposite. So part of the practices, we do share the courts, so we have 4 and they have 4. Usually during those days, we really focus on doubles, so we just need 3 courts. But yeah, there are times that we share. We don't like it, but we gotta do with what we have.
Do you ever practice together, Coach?
No, the guys are afraid of us. You know, they don't want to lose the girls.
You know, those guys might actually have to hit more than 3 or 4 balls if they practice with the ladies.
I know. No, our men's team is very strong. I mean, they're actually number 1 in the country right now. So they're very good. Not too often. I mean, sometimes if the guys have uneven numbers, so we might get one of the guys or 2 of the guys kind of come and join us, or if we need, you know, 1 extra. But to the most time, you know, they run their own program. We run our program, and it's 2 separate programs completely.
All right. Now, I was looking at your schedule. For the fall, you seem to be invited to several Division I, NCAA Division I tournaments. Was that the case?
Yeah, we want to play as many Division I teams and tournaments as we can. I mean, we always looking for a better competition, and we're lucky that, you know, right here in Miami, we have the University of Miami, that we have good relationship with them. So we've been playing now their tournaments for, this is, I think, the 2nd or 3rd year in a row. Same thing with the FIU. and also we went to Clemson this year, and that's a pattern that we're going to continue and even increase because I think it's really good for our girls kind of to get out of the Division II tournaments and all the Division II schools that are in Florida. We see them enough and see like the top competition also in Division I. We'll get them better, and that's what we want.
Now, how do you perform at these tournaments against these Division I schools?
We do pretty well. I mean, I think the University of Miami tournament was the best. I mean, it was us, Miami, I think it was Auburn, Mississippi, or Oklahoma State. So all top 30 the Division I schools. And, you know, we won some, we lost some, but, I mean, overall, it was really good. Every match was tough, and that's what we want. Usually, a lot of times with the Division II tournaments, you kind of win the first one, the second one, kind of very easy, and then you only have one match. Those tournaments, you play three singles or four singles, three doubles. Every match is a tough match, whether you win or you lose, and that's what we want. That's what they need to keep getting better.
Now, you play in what I call the greatest collegiate tournament in the country. You get to play in the small college championships. Can you tell us about your experience this year at the small college in the Super Bowl?
That was an amazing experience. You know, usually we're not that successful in those tournaments. You got to win the regional to go to the nationals, and our region is so tough. There's so many great tennis players, but we're able to win it in doubles, and went on to the nationals and had a very good performance there, and beat all the other regional winners. That was in Naples, Florida. And qualify for the, and then actually went to the Super Bowl, which is the national winner from Division II, Division III, NAI, and Junior College, and won that, won semifinal and final, and went on to the Inter Championship with Division I, which was just an amazing experience. You know, just playing at where the U.S. Open is played, with all that history, and playing pretty much the best 15 doubles teams in the country. So it was a great experience for that team. I know they're excited about it. Even though I think we could have done a little bit better, it was overall just a great experience for them.
Now, Coach, at that Super Bowl, what people don't realize is how many matches you have to play in a short period of time.
I know, and that's what Division II is all about, not too many people realize that to win a national championship, you got to win four matches in 4 days. And that's a lot of tennis, and usually we play in a very hot weather. If it's in Orlando, it's usually in the 90s or 100s. Last year, it was in Surprise, Arizona. It was close to 100 degrees. So the conditioning part, you know, to win a national championship in NCAA Division II, it's crucial. There's no breaks.
Right. Now, when you made it to that ITA Indoor Championship, Coach, which teams did you get to play while you were out there?
We played the team from Southern California. Actually, both matches were against the team from Southern California. I think they were the number one team and the number two team of Southern California, which I think it's a top five in Division I. And first match, we were a little nervous and didn't play that well. But the second match, even though we lost, I think, 8-4, 8-5, we had some chances to break them, and it was a very competitive match. So played much, much better in the second one.
I love the idea that a small college group of kids, singles, doubles, players, get to go advance to these tournaments. I always wish... You know, I think in the spring, I'd love to see at some point there to be a team event similar to that small college championship with the Super Bowl and stuff. I know it'll never happen, Coach, but, you know, sometimes Small college teams are very tough, and I'd love to see how they do against the NCAA Division I teams up there as well. You know, it takes a little bit, once those teams get settled in, NAI Division II, even some of those JUCO girls, you know, they can play with those Division I kids.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I think there was a JUCO girl that, after she finished in Hillsboro, went to Georgia Tech, I think played number one or number two for them, a Canadian girl, amazing player. So, yeah, there are great, great players. There are some very strong teams, especially the top NAI teams, the top Division II teams that can definitely compete against a lot of the Division I, the top Division I schools. But our hope is just to play more and more Division I schools. I mean, even in our backyard, you know, that's what we want. You know, to play those UCF and Stetson and FIU and FAU as much as possible. I mean, that will be amazing. You know, so we don't have to fly, you know, to get those matches. You know, they're right here. I mean, we would love to play them. But the philosophy of Division I is a little bit different, and they don't really want to play Division II. They want to have a loss against Division II. So it's really tough for us to schedule them.
Yeah, Coach, in the spring, it's really hard to get those matches in particular, just as you said, because those athletic directors don't want that loss against a small college program, and in our world, as a small college program, it's good for both teams because of the competition.
That's my philosophy. I mean, most of the teams that we want to play, I mean, they're mid-major Division I's, and if they want to qualify for NCAA play, I mean, they got to win their conference. Whether they beat us or lose to us, it's not going to make any difference. And same for us, beating, you know, UNF, it's not going to help us in our regional ranking or anything else, but it's just a good match, and you know, we just want as many good matches as possible. But yeah, the philosophy, I mean, the ideas, you know, sometimes they say no, don't play the Division II teams, you know, find another Division I. So it's hard for us to play the Florida Division I schools, a dual match. We get a lot of Division I's that come here for spring break, especially from the Upper East, and they don't mind. So we play them. I mean, this year we play Davidson, we play Middle Tennessee, and UNF, because we have good relationship with their coach. And we get a lot of, like, Colgate and Cornell and Rutgers used to come here on a yearly basis, and we used to play them all the time. But the Florida teams, those are the ones that kind of hiding from us.
Yeah, well, Coach, you know, I always felt like that if you couldn't recruit a team that was good enough to beat my team, then we had some serious issues, because I as a junior college coach, you know, I only got girls for 2 years, so you had some serious issues with your Division I team. If you could recruit girls for 4 years and couldn't beat my team, then, you know, you had bigger issues than trying to beat a JC team. So, you know, I always thought you should put us on the schedule to gauge how good your Division I team was. So I would think it would be the same thing for putting Barry on the you know, the program on the schedule there, because if I can beat Barry, who is a national powerhouse at the Division II level, then I would be pretty good to beat them at the NCAA Division I level.
Yes, I mean, you're right, but also recruiting, you know, coming to play, and a lot of times, you know, we fight for the same player, you know, here in Florida, and a lot of the Division I's, you know, just say, you know, we're Division I, so we are better, and most international, you know, players, I mean, they know Division I is the best, Division II is the second best, Division III is the third best, and they don't really understand that, you know, some of the Division II teams, I mean, their level are, you know, better than, I don't know, 50, 60, 80% of all Division I schools. So, you know, if we play a team and we beat them 8-1, 7-2, they cannot say they're better than us, because I'm just going to tell them, just look at the scores. So it comes to that play as well. You know, there's a lot of things, but it's a struggle. You know, we try every year, you know, to schedule all of them, and most of the time we get denied. But we'll keep trying.
You bet. Now, Coach, I was looking at your spring schedule, which you've already started. How's it going so far?
It's going well. We had a scrimmage, you know, against Valdosta State, which is a very good Division II school in our region, and we beat them 9-0. And then we went and played Florida Tech, which I think they may be 15 or 17 in Division II. They're in our conference, so that was our first conference match. Beat them 9-0. They have a really good number one player, so the number one was a very good match. And my girl was able to win, but it was very close, could go either way. And then we played the Embry-Riddle on that Sunday, so it was the third day in a row, and beat them 8-1. So it was good weekend, still kind of trying to find our doubles and, you know, combinations, so moving everybody around a little bit. But we got a deep team, a lot of good players, so it was a very good weekend for us.
You know, Coach, I was looking at your schedule and noticed that there are a lot of home matches there.
Yeah, it kind of just happened, you know, with the conference now, they telling us, you know, when are we playing or not, so they kind of give us the schedule. And we just had a lot of teams that wanted to come our way, and with some, you know, one year they come to us, the other year we go to them. But yeah, it happened that we have a lot of matches at home, and that's good. You know, the kid can not going to miss a lot of classes, and play, you know, in our facility around our home crowd. So it's always good.
Yeah, I would imagine so. I mean, when you call up these people or they call you, I'd imagine they'd want to come running down there to Miami, Coach. You know, it can't be that hard of a sell.
It's beautiful here, and, you know, the weather is nice. So, I mean, it's all about, you know, the budget. You know, if they have the money. The good thing is that when you come down here, you have us, but, you know, if you're a Division I school, you can play FIU, University of Miami. You also have Lynn, you have Nova, so you have a lot of good teams in the area, so you can have 3-4 really good matches if that's what you want. So that's the sell, especially for the teams who come for the spring break. They can get a lot of matches down here and good ones.
Now, Coach, I used to have a friend in Las Vegas who used to, well, he was the coach at Southern Utah, and he used to play his home matches there in Las Vegas at one of the casino hotels, and he used to use it to his advantage. He would have those other teams come in the night before and knew that those kids couldn't stand it. They'd go out and, you know, party the night before there in Las Vegas, and he'd schedule that match for the next morning at about 10 o'clock. And he'd come away with the winning record out there against those teams' home matches. Now, do you do something similar to that with the South Beach right there?
I haven't, but now that you told me about it, I mean, I would definitely, you know, take it in mind. You know, we definitely put them in South Beach near the nicest clubs, and, you know, maybe it gives us an edge.
Definitely something to think about, for sure, Coach.
Definitely.
You know, I wanted to talk to you. Now, you belong to the Sunshine State Conference. Which teams are in the Sunshine State Conference, Coach?
We got Lynn University, Florida Southern, St. Leo, Eckerd College, Rollins College, Nova Southeastern. What am I forgetting? There are 9 schools all together. I know I'm forgetting one. Let me see. Tampa, University of Tampa, and Florida Tech.
Okay, now, in order for you to get to nationals, I mean, how does it go for you? I mean, do you have to win the conference as far as matches go? Do you play a conference tournament? Do you get to regionals? How's your path go?
Well, we have first the regular season conference matches that we have to play everyone. And actually, this is the first year that they're going to have a regular season conference champion. And then you go to the conference tournament. If you win the conference tournament, you get an automatic bid to the regional tournament. If you don't win it, pretty much the top six teams in the region qualify for regionals. And there are, you know, the number one, number two in the region host the southeast region. So pretty much two teams from our region will qualify for nationals. So at the end, you got to be in the top six in the region to qualify for regional, unless you win your conference. So that's pretty much the path. We're lucky enough that in the last, I think, four years, we were number one in the region. So we hosted the last 4 years. So it was really nice. But our region is probably the toughest region in the country in Division II. Beside us, you have Lynn, who is very strong. I think they're number four or five in the country. You have West Florida also around, you know, top five, top six. St. Leo is very strong in the last couple of years. I think they're number eight. Valdosta is very good. Rawlins is top 10. So you have about five or six, even more, seven teams in the top 10, and only two will actually move on to the nationals. So it's very, very competitive down here.
Coach, now I noticed the last couple of years you've run into another very strong Division II program in Armstrong Atlantic, and we've had Simon on the show before. You guys have had some kind of rivalry there.
Oh my God, I hate Simon. No, I mean, I think Simon is doing a great job over there in Armstrong. He always, I think, in the last five, six, 7 years, he has amazing teams. And they're always ready to play. So we always have great, great matches. It's kind of weird. We were talking about it last year. When you go to nationals, you know, you have 16 teams, and they do it, they match it up by draw. So you don't, your national ranking means nothing when you go to nationals. And in the last 5 years, always us and Armstrong, and we've always been top three in the country, we're always in the same side, which statistically is almost impossible to happen. But yeah, you know, we have to kind of go through them, or they have to go through us. But at the end of the day, you know, we got to beat them to win the whole thing. So we have to be ready. They beat us the last 2 years in nationals. We beat them, you know, 3 years ago to win the whole thing. And I have a good feeling that it will come to the two of us again this year.
So you two guys do an exceptional. Yeah, I think you two guys do an exceptional job with your programs, and I enjoy. The fact that year after year you can look at those results and see you two at the top, that like I said, it creates that rivalry aspect to it, and that's what drives the programs, is you can count on the two of you being there at the end of the year.
I really love it. You know, I mean, we're playing them in 2 weeks, and that's like, you know, our highlight match, and this is now we're pretty much preparing for that match. And we know you gotta play our best to be able to beat them. So it's great to have them, and you know, they push us to get better, and I hope that we push them to get better. And always looking forward for those matches. Those are the exciting ones.
They sure are. You know, as you go through it, you hope to find maybe two or three of those in the course of your spring schedule that you can rely on, and it sounds like within your conference and your region there, you've got those, Coach.
We do. I mean, I think this year Lynn will definitely push us. St. Leo are, you know, they have a very good team this year, so they will push us. West Florida, definitely. So I think most of the teams this year got better from last year. So it's definitely going to be harder. But, yeah, you know, I'm looking forward for the tough matches. Beating someone 9-0, I mean, it's great. It's great for the record. But, you know, I want the 5-4s and the 6-3s and going until the last match. Those are the ones that build character, and those are the ones that will make us better.
Now, Coach, I sent you out a list of questions before we got on the air today, And we're going to try to hit as many of them as we can before we leave the air today. And I want to start off with the first question, or the second question I sent to you about diversity. And when we look at your roster, you have a very diverse roster. You have girls from all over the world. And I just want to ask, I mean, how does diversity play a role in your philosophy as a college tennis coach?
Well, I mean, tennis is a very diverse game. You know, any tournament you're going to go, you're going to find players from all around the world. So it's a diverse game. We are living in Miami, which is a very diverse city. So it kind of fits perfectly with, you know, I'm internationally. I came here to a very diverse team. So it fits perfectly to my philosophy. And, you know, I'm looking, you know, for the best players anywhere. So whether they are from Germany, from Austria, from Brazil, from Japan, you know, if I can find them, you know, and they are, you know, have all the greats and everything, and they have the right personality, we will get them. And I think it builds character. You know, it helps you understand, you know, other people from different countries, different cultures. So it makes everybody better and get them ready for, I guess, the next stage in their life after tennis. So I think it's a very good thing.
I think, you know, and to help, I mean, you're at your university, at my college, you know, the president's there, the administration, they want a diverse population, don't they, Avi?
They do. Yes, I mean, we are told that, you know, Barry is a diverse school. We want all nationalities, and we're proud of that we have that. So that's definitely something that kind of, you know, come from above of us, and I follow it, you know, and I believe in it.
Now, as you recruit these international players and you get them for 4 years, is there something unique you've noticed that they bring as far as an attitude to your team or to the school?
Well, I mean, everybody is different, and, you know, different countries, it's a different personality. You know, you cannot really generalize, but you know, we had in the past and even this year a lot of German players, and I really like the German athlete. I mean, they're kind of like machines. You know, they go, they do the work, and they move on. You know, the South American players, you know, they like to talk a little bit more. They like to laugh. They like to make it a little bit more loose. So it's a different personality. So you got to have a mix, you know, of the both to make it a great team chemistry. You don't just want all just hard and, you know, no laugh. And so a good mix is always good.
Now, I have to ask, through your experience, are there any countries out there that you say, absolutely not, I've had such a bad experience that I will never recruit from that country again?
No, I didn't have, I mean, I had bad experiences, but I would never generalize it for the whole country. So you just move on and you try to learn from your mistakes, and, you know, maybe I didn't do enough research on that particular player, I didn't see the signs, or maybe I didn't want to see the signs at times. But you just need to do a better job, you know, recruiting, so you bring the right person. And one thing that we do, and it's an advantage, I think, for Division II, is that if we bring them for official visit, I mean, they can actually practice with us. So we can see them in front of us, and we can see how they're practicing. And just being with them for 2 days, you know, we hope to really understand their personality and if they have the right personality for our team. And hopefully make the right decisions.
Yeah. Now, one thing I particularly enjoyed about the internationals that I brought in as I watched them go through is they had a strong desire to, you know, contribute to society. They wanted to be a part of the school, And some of them even wanted to stay after they graduated from their university, after they transferred from our school there at Lee after their 2 years. Is that the same case with your kids?
I found it just the opposite. I don't know, maybe it's my girls, I don't know. But I found that, you know, the international players, you know, when you bring them here, it's almost like, you know, that's their job. You know, you give them the scholarship, they're here to play tennis and study. And we really have to really work for them to kind of really understand that there is also something above that. And, you know, to give back and, you know, the whole, you know, the university, and really understand that you play for the university. The Americans, even though I didn't have a lot of Americans, but, you know, when I was in Davidson, I mean, all of our girls were Americans, and you can see that they come because they wanted to be at Davidson College. So they really understand about, you know, what the school is all about, and they're much more, you know, willing to do extra stuff. For us, it's a learning process, and I think this year, actually, we're doing here at Barry, we're doing actually the best. We have a competition, you know, within all the sports about community service, and we're leading. We won it last year, so it was great. But it's we really have to kind of always talk to them about it and kind of really understand, make them understand why it's so important kind of to give back and kind of see the whole picture, you know, and not just, you know, tennis and school and that's it. It's a progress, but they're getting there.
Good. Now, and I'm curious about this. Now, you being there in Miami, and I don't know if you get to see this a lot, but you know, I'm curious about minority tennis. I mean, and with the Hispanic population, the Cuban population you see there in Miami, do you see a push of more of the minority players getting involved in tennis? Are we seeing more kids getting involved with those populations down there?
I think that overall, you know, they're trying to make tennis, you know, more affordable, you know, to everyone. So I think that's kind of, you know, one thing that the USTA as a general is trying to do. You know, I'm not too familiar with the juniors, you know, at the age of, you know, 6 and 8, because those are in the clubs, and I'm not that involved in the club scenery here. But I know that that's the push from the USTA to make it more available to minorities, kind of to get them start and make it less of an expensive.
Now, do you run summer camps out there, Avi?
No, I haven't done it yet. I mean, we're planning to do our first summer camp this summer. So we're like trying to get everything organized. So hopefully we'll get it together.
So you've been involved over here with collegiate tennis for a while. Are you and maybe develop some opinions about tennis as a whole? And I'm going to ask you here. You know, we've got a big problem with American tennis, professional tennis, that is, on the men's side. We can't seem to get a professional men's tennis player inside the top 10 anymore. On the women's side, you know, we're an aging population there, with the exception of Serena. Have you got any opinions on the direction of American professional tennis?
I think that they're going to the right direction. I mean, the way I see tennis, you know, it's about cycles. And I remember when I was, I think, 15 or 16, we had, in Israel, we had Amos Mansdorf, top 20, and we had Shachar Perkis, who was top 50. And at that time, like, the U.S. really didn't have anyone, like, in the top 10 or something like that. And they were actually coming to us kind of to see our system and everything. And about 5-7 years later, you know, you had Sampras and Agassi and Chang and Courier and all those players and dominating tennis for, you know, the next 10-15 years. So, I mean, everything going to cycles, and I'm pretty sure that the U.S. tennis will rise again. I think that from what I've seen, the way they structure things now is much better. And they have very good coaches, you know, that, you know, taking the top players from, you know, the 12 and the 14th and the 16th. It just takes time, you know. You cannot just make great tennis players. You have to start, you know, in the 10th and the 12th and kind of develop them. So I think it will happen. You just need to be a little bit more patient.
Well, I mean, when you look at the tennis players of today, Nadal and Djokovic and Murray, I mean, these guys are tremendous athletes. I mean, they're just heads and tails above, you know, above the other people that are out there. I mean, it seems like that a lot of you know, the athletes of America are getting into other sports. I mean, you know, like, I mean, you take a LeBron James as an example. If we had put a tennis racket in LeBron James's hand at 10, 11 years old, I think he would have made a great tennis player, you know, just as an opinion there. I mean, what do you think if that had happened, would we have had a great tennis player?
I mean, LeBron is definitely an amazing athlete, so, I mean, maybe, you know, you really never know, because with tennis, I mean, outside of being a great athlete, it's all about also your mind and, you know, being an individual on the court compared to a team sports like basketball. But yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that because tennis is not the most popular sport here in the U.S., you got baseball, you got football, you got basketball, so we don't get the top athletes. But it's all about, you know, starting from, you know, from the 6 and under and 8 and under, and kind of give them the right basics and give them the joy of the game. So hopefully they will continue. And I think with, you know, the quick tennis that now the USTA adopted, that's the right way. It's just you gotta have a way to have all the coaches out there. To be on the same level, I think that's the biggest problem when I look at the U.S. Coaches, you know, in the clubs compared to Europe. Their system is about the same. Wherever you go, to whichever club you're gonna go, I mean, they teach the same way. And here, you know, in the clubs, everybody kind of do whatever they want. So if there's gonna be a way to kind of make it, you know, I don't know. But make sure that all the coaches have the knowledge. I mean, it's very different, you know, to coach a 6-year-old or 7-year-old than, you know, a 17, 18 that already have all the shots and everything. It's two different coaches. So you have to have the developmental coaches that understand, you know, everything. And that level need to be the same everywhere. And that's how you get those top, the talent, you know, to move forward.
Yeah, so do you believe that that's where we should put a little more attention, is on the education of the coaches?
Definitely. I you know, just when I go and just play in the clubs and I see the coaches there, I mean, some are really good coaches, and some, I mean, I just look and I cringe, you know. I mean, they're teaching the wrong way. I mean, everything is just wrong. And, you know, it's that's why we're losing so many players.
Yeah, I can agree with that, definitely, Coach. Now, last question I have for you today, and this is just an opinion question. I mean, as you've gone through this as a college tennis coach and what you've seen in regards to, you know, number of matches, practice time, and what's happening, you know, through a four-year college span, I mean, is college tennis something that can contribute to the rise of a professional tennis player, or is it something that, you know, could hurt a professional tennis player's dreams?
Well, I think that now, you know, looking at the tennis level and the physicality of the game, both on the men and women's side, You're not going to see too many 17, 18, or 19-year-old that will be, you know, top 10, top 5 in the world and, you know, will win Grand Slams. So as you look at the development of the new tennis players, they're usually getting ready at about maybe age 22, 23, just because the game has changed and it's just become so much more physical. So because of that, I mean, I think that now college tennis can be a great stepping stone for all of those athletes that have the talent but just not physically mature enough. And those 2, 3, or 4 years in the college level, playing a lot of matches, getting, you know, all the strength and conditioning that they need, the mental coaches, the mental training coaches, can really help them, you know, make the next step to professional. I mean, we saw it a little bit with John Isner and a couple more of the on the guy side, and also a couple of the on the women side. But I think it will get more and more. The only problem is that, you know, with the change of rules with Division One, you know, without, you know, now the third set, I mean, that's kind of, I don't know where that's going to take college tennis. That's my only concern right now. I know most of the coaches, especially the top coaches, are completely against it. And I'm also against it, and I hope that it will not move to Division Two. But it will be hard to convince a player who wants to go pro that now you're only playing two sets and playing a super tiebreak, where if you want to go pro, it's 2 out of 3, or if you play Grand Slam, it's 3 out of 5. It's a completely different match.
Well, Avi, you bring up an interesting point, and I'm glad you did, because I don't know why, if you want to go on the professional tour, you would go to a Division I school with that scoring format.
I know, they all have to come now to Barry, right?
Exactly. I mean, it really strengthens the position of a small college a format, doesn't it? I mean,
yes, but
you're going to play 2 out of 3 sets, right? And correct me if I'm wrong, you guys are playing 2 out of 3 sets with regular scoring still, aren't you?
Yes, yes.
And you're playing 8-game pro sets. You're essentially playing more tennis at the smaller college than you are at the Division I level now, right?
That is correct. But the problem is that if that will become, you know, the scoring system in Division I, I can almost guarantee you that Division II will, you know, go after it again, because they want to say, oh, it's less tennis, you know, more time for them to study, works for us as well. So if that's my fear, that in another year or two, I mean, we'll have to go through that system as well. So I hope that they're going to look at it, and I know most of the coaches that I talk to, I mean, they're all against it. And hopefully they will find another way. I understand what they're trying to do, shortening it a little bit so it can be more televised. But hopefully there is another way.
Well, in my research, it seems to come from three conferences. It comes from the SEC, the Pac-12, and then the Big 12, which all, as you mentioned, you know, have television networks, and they're trying to put tennis on TV. But Avi, I mean, you know, I can't imagine that you're going to have, you know, tens of thousands of viewers watching college tennis matches on TV. I mean, I don't understand the point of trying to put college tennis on TV. You know, on the internet, sure, but not on TV.
I know, but you know, that's what they're trying to do. I mean, we had that meeting in the national. The indoor championship, and they're talking that they really don't know what is the right way, but they're just trying out different ways, and hopefully they can find the right solution. So for us, we just have to wait and see, but I hope that it's not going to catch.
Yeah, well, it's a college tennis match that goes 4-3, and it's 2 out of 3 sets, 8-game pro set, is a wonderful story, and what I in my experience here recently in talking to some of these Division I coaches that have these shortened matches, they just don't like it. It's just not It goes too fast in the doubles. You know, you get a break and you're done. And then with the no-ad scoring and the match tiebreaker, it just there's no feel to it anymore.
I mean, I know it takes, you know, conditioning a little bit out of the mix, and pretty much you just have to win one set to win a match. So,
yeah.
I mean, we are, you know, as a team here, we put so much focus on conditioning and everything that, you know, that goes into it. And that's a big part of, you know, for whichever one of my players who would want to move into professional after, you know, the conditioning part it's crucial. So I really don't know how it fits with the whole, you know, making, you know, college tennis, you know, a stepping stone for professional, which is something that I know, you know, if the USTA and the ITA, they wanted to do it. I'm not sure. I'm really not sure what is the right solution. I understand where they're coming from, you know, but, you know, I don't think that's the right way. But we just have to wait and see.
Yeah, well, I agree that they've got to experiment a little bit and see, you know, what's available. I enjoy the fact that they're trying, you know, one way with the men, they're trying another way with the women. They're not going to do it all season long. They're going to pull back, you know, and they realize that it's an experiment. But man, whew, it's just a mess right now, and it seems to catch a lot of people in the wrong way, real fast. That's my understanding with it.
Well, I can tell you, I mean, I remember, I think it was 2002, I mean, the notion was that the game is too fast. And I remember on the men's side, they made us play with a bigger ball for one semester. Yeah, and then most of the players started getting tennis elbows, and everybody wrote to the ITA complaining, and, you know, they took it away. But we had one semester playing with a bigger ball. It was horrible.
Yes, I remember that. The rally ball is what they called that ball.
Yeah,
and,
exactly,
you're right.
Exactly. Yes.
Everybody tried to hit the ball harder because it was slower.
I know. You know. All of our guys, else. You know, getting tennis elbows.
Yeah. Well, Avi, thanks for coming on today. When do you play again?
We're playing this weekend. We're playing Florida Southern at home. That's a conference match. And then on Sunday against University of Tampa, which is, again, another conference match.
Well, outstanding. I traditionally, what I try to do is I follow up with the national champions in the summer. I hope to give you a call back sometime in May and try to get you back on the air.
I hope so. That's the goal.
Well, definitely. Well, give my best to Mr. Earnshaw when you see him, and good luck with that rivalry match.
I will. See you in 2 weeks. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for having
me. Yes, sir. Have a great day.
Thanks. You too.
All right. Very good. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Avi Kiegel. Avi runs one of the nation's top programs there at Barry University down in Florida. And he does an outstanding job there. You know, and I looked at that record, 120 wins, 15 losses. That guy's averaging about 2 losses per year since he's been there. It's just an amazing run, and you can't expect anything but the same thing this year from that program. They are putting forth a great product, and he knows how to win. He does it with a great group of young ladies down there, and it doesn't matter what division they play, whether it be Division I or II or NAI. They take on all comers, and they travel, they play, they beat you, and they do an outstanding job on the court and in the classroom as well. And just excited to have him on the air, and just fun speaking with him. So next week we've got an international guest. We've got Miss Emma Doyle. She's going to come on the air, talk to us some about Australian tennis, her experience as a student athlete, and we look forward to visiting with her. So I want to give you a heads up on that, and just want to thank you for listening today. And we look forward to having you back again next week on the American College Experience. Thanks so much for listening in today. And go outside and hit some tennis balls if you can. Thanks. Bye-bye.